It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Except it's not. At least not in LA. But it does feel like Christmas. And while that would normally instill me with nothing but joy, this year, to be honest, it's been negated by a lot of negative emotions still about the same thing. It's my unconventional life. Who cares? I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it's an examination of what happened when I tried to love and be a parent outside of society's norms. But most of all, hopefully, it's an honest, unapologetic, and insightful journey into my genuine desire to be my most authentic, peaceful, and positive self in the world. Sponsored by no one. Every week, I detail my own journey as a parenting partner, a lover, and a friend. And occasionally discuss my untraditional views and aspirations with other people too. Ultimately, though, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in the world today? Who cares indeed? Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? What's it all about? Well, I do still have those five things that Matthew McConaughey talked about. For me, being a parent, friendships, health, financial stability, and girls. Sometimes, though, it's hard to just exist and appreciate any of them, because it feels like you're on a treadmill, just going on endlessly. I've started reading, finally, a book that my friend at work gave me, geez, maybe 6 months ago. Had no use for it then, but maybe soon. Or at least eventually. It's called The Taoist Secrets of Love, Cultivating Male Sexual Energy. Also known as Sexual Kung Fu. That's a far more Hollywood title. My friend has had similar issues as I have regarding low testosterone, etc. in the past and found that it really helped him. It has some foo-foo energy type stuff in it, like exposing your perineum to sunlight for half an hour a day. But also some very good exercises for sexual health and control. And it proposes semen retention over ejaculation when it comes to sex. Which, to be honest, does make a lot of sense to me. After all, the French call an orgasm un petit mort, a little death, for a reason. And if you ever seen me have one, well, okay, that's sharing too much. But in the grand scheme of things, it also talks as much about balancing out the yin and yang, or the masculine and feminine energies, and the interplay of qi. I know for sure I have a lot of feminine energy. I'm certainly far from an alpha male. And the concept does appeal to me, so I guess we'll see. For now, I'm just doing the exercises. But as I mentioned last week, I am thinking about how to move forward in the dating world again. I know I can't just blindly see what happens, that I need to be absolutely solid this time in my communication and my boundaries. Because I've heard of don't ask, don't tell agreements in open relationships before, but they seemed somewhat disingenuous. Then there's the notion of only telling your partner if you're with someone else sexually, but then that gets into grey areas about what sex really is. I just have to be careful because I always seem to go down the same track of succumbing to inferred societal expectations to not be non-monogamous. There's a strong sense of guilt. The notion that's been repeated in your head that one person should be enough, and that it's disrespectful to a partner to be with someone else. When I know rationally, it's not. Although it is disrespectful to yourself to not honour your own agreements. And that includes agreements that you make with yourself. Boundaries about who you are and who you aren't. And it's not easy at all. But it's super important that I do it for the sake of me and everybody else around me. I was actually lucky enough this week to talk to an old friend that I met in the poly community out here in Los Angeles who really helped discuss some of these conflicts that I'm feeling. Her name is Denise, and I actually interviewed her on the podcast in one of the earlier podcasts, if you're interested in going back and listening to it. Anyway, when I suggested the agreement of only talking about someone else you're with if you have sex with them, she said that that was fraught with emotional trauma, because in the meantime, people can easily slip into the notion that while you say you're non-monogamous, you're not actually being with anyone else. So when that reality eventually hits them in the face, it's too much to handle. And that makes a lot of sense. So she suggested being open to the extent that you talk about things before they happen. Mention when you're even going on a date, and then talk about the feelings that it brings up. And of course, this is in relation to a, I guess you'd call it a serious partner, but a more consistent partner. It doesn't have to be a primary partner, but just someone that you're planning on seeing consistently, I assume. And it does all sound a little icky, but with good reason. Because I think it's way better to talk to a partner about going on a date with someone else than hearing a month or two later that you've had sex with someone else. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Denise's friendship and advice. It's just awesome to have someone who is really living a non-monogamous lifestyle successfully, albeit with continuing self-work, who is willing and able to pass on what she's learned to someone else. Maybe I'll take her out on a date. If I think back to my history with Eri and I can clearly see, I think, the mistake that I made. Well, one of them. Now, I don't know the effect that it had on all the other conflicts that have come up in our relationship, but I do know that it rang the death knell for any sense of sexual relationship between us. Even though we never discussed being in a romantic relationship, the way we acted was tantamount to it. And the agreement we had, once it had gone in that direction, was that we would be open if we were with anyone else in any way. Up to that point, however, because we hadn't discussed any sense of romantic relationship, on the contrary, I'd been clear that our relationship was solely for the purpose of having children if we decided to do so, there was no such agreement. So, after we'd made that agreement, and she asked me if I'd been with anybody else since we'd met and been sexually intimate, and I told her that I had. I think at that time I'd slept with maybe a couple of girls and made out with a handful in the previous 6 months, that it really triggered something in her because she hadn't expected it. And that is exactly what Denise explained. At that point, agreeing to not have sex with anyone else out of concerns for sexual health, since I would be having unprotected sex to conceive with Eri, was perfectly fine and didn't cross my boundaries. But when that turned to not even making out and not even dating anyone else, I should never have made that agreement because it wholeheartedly went against who I was and the relationship that I wanted. Now, to be fair, Eri never asked me to do it. I only did because I asked her if it would upset her, and she told me that it would, and I didn't want to do that to the pregnant mother of my daughter. And I asked her best friend, who told me the same thing, to put all those thoughts on hold until our child was born. But in hindsight, and hindsight always is 20/20, that was undoubtedly the wrong thing to do. And when I tried to express my concerns at the time, it was met with great emotional anxiety, as you might imagine, and began the cycle of trying to pull away and cling on that took us down an all too familiar path. The bottom line, I believe now, is that you should never have sex with a parenting partner for any other reason than procreation. And you have to stand firm about it and be clear. You only do it when she's ovulating, and you do it scientifically and not for fun. Because those are emotions that you should not be tapping into. I have made some categorical mistakes. And as such, I'm not sure I'll ever be able to be a good example of a parenting partnership. And that makes me sad. But perhaps there is still hope. Perhaps I can show, we can show, by salvaging some sort of relationship, that there still are positives. I was talking to another good friend this week about non-monogamy and how sometimes I can't believe so many people don't get it and blindly pursue monogamy for their whole lives with the same results. And she explained to me that actually I'd do much better just trying to lead by example rather than being perplexed and incredulous at the seemingly nearsighted way people pursue sexual love and relationships. And that goes for parenting partnerships too, because, and let's be brutally honest here, if I'm so gung-ho about parenting partnerships and non-monogamy being a better way to have children and find sexual love, I don't have much in the way of experience to back that up. In fact, one might say I have the exact opposite. So, I am going to endeavour to do that. Lead a consensually non-monogamous life and somehow try to salvage this parenting partnership with Eri. It's funny, I saw pictures of us last year where we looked totally in love, and I couldn't believe it was only like 18 months ago. Felt like I was looking at a different person. Like I'd blocked out the memory. Like PTSD, because of the emotional trauma that I'd gone through. Which, for the record, I'm sure Eri has too. But be that as it may, for me, the resentment lingers on. And sometimes, if I'm honest, it's hard just to be in the same room as her. It's the worst. I keep saying it, but it's everything that I wanted to specifically avoid by having a parenting partnership. And often it just depresses me. Daily. If I think back to my childhood, seeing love between my parents was uber important, I think, in my development, certainly in terms of the safety and the security that it gave me. But I guess at least Amelia won't know any different, but she will pick up on the energy, and that's not good. Eri and I are still having arguments about money and what the agreement that we filed with the court actually does cover. And I knew there'd be issues like this, which is why I tried to get it as clearly as possible from the mediator, but perhaps other things were always going to come up. And perhaps, whether intentionally or not, Eri is always going to try to push my boundaries if I let her. It's been about a year now since Eri asked to change parts of the contract. and our relationship careened into oblivion. Our child has been born, and some of the negative feelings on Eri's part have subsided. But for my part, most of the time, they've only intensified. And it certainly doesn't bode well for the future. But what can you do? Really, what can you do? Just do your best. Hope things will get better. Try to have faith. And I'll see you next week. Well, that's another week gone. And everyone, a blessing. Every day, every moment. So, I appreciate you spending any of yours listening to this. Drop me a line to myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully a little joy too. But either way, until then, wherever you are and whoever you are with, be kind to yourself and to others. It's perhaps the simplest way to make this world a better place. Hello.